The Big Scary Show is brought to you in part by Dark Imaginings, web design, creepy changing portraits, and much, much more. DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jen Braverman with Trans World, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Chris Sarandon. You may remember me from Fright Night, The Nightmare Before Christmas, The Princess Bride, and I'd like to welcome you to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Jonathan Breck, the Creeper. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
Hey, this is Beefcake the Mighty.
And Jizmac the Gusher of Gwar.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show. Oh, I'm so scared.
Yeah, it's so scary. Ooh.
Hi, this is Josh Gates, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
It's time. Trans World is just a few days in the future, and for this occasion, there's never enough time to get ready. We hope at this moment you're putting together the final touches on your displays, packing your trucks and trailers, and scheduling your travel plans. No last-second worries on this episode of The Big Scary Show, as we're pacing ourselves to the extent that time may just slow down and allow you to relax and sit a spell. On this week's episode, spend a few moments with Jonathan Breck from the Jeepers Creepers films. What's he doing these days? Find out in a few minutes. Badger brings you all the latest up-to-the-minute news with Deadline News. Storm will rant in a hot minute, no doubt about some timely topic. Take a few minutes to listen to Meat Hook Jim's new segment, Between the Corpses, which will no doubt entertain you and inform you to the extent that you'll want to know more, but alas, no time. The haunstrumentalist Jerry Vane has spanned the era of haunt music and spooky tunes that will want you going back for a second listen. This month's gruesome giveaway will give you the chance to win a great prize if you just take the time to enter. Trust me, it's worth the time to listen closely. Since Trans World is mere days away, our roundtable of terror brings you the last second, up-to-the-minute news regarding Trans World with Jen Braverman, who brings us up-to-date with all the latest additions. We also talk about other shows that the Trans World family puts on during the year, including the Premier Haunt Tour, Room Escape Tour, Legendary Haunt Tour, even a new Christmas show? Veister goes back in time to talk about the old TV series The Night Stalker with his segment. Take a few moments to listen, and you won't be disappointed. So check your watch, your travel schedule, and take the time to tune in and listen to this week's Big Scary Show, episode 153. Time's up.
Thank you. Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have, and what better way to collect donations for a community. Tickets under $5, the fee is only 25 cents. Find out what Ticket Leap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for Deadline News here on The Big Scary Show with your host, me, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest in the haunted house, Halloween, and horror industries. Hello, folks. This is Drew Badger, and this is Deadline News for episode 153, and we're going to get started with an update from Days of the Dead coming to Charlotte. To all the wrestling fans out there, Days of the Dead has your hookup. Holla if you hear us. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of wrestling star Scott Steiner to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Charlotte, happening May 18th through the 20th at the Sheraton Charlotte Hotel. Steiner wrestled in WCW alongside his older brother Rick as the Steiner Brothers and as a member of the New World Order. He's also wrestled for Jim Crockett Productions, the World Wrestling Federation, and World Wrestling Entertainment, Extreme Championship Wrestling, and Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. He headlined multiple pay-per-views throughout his career, and Steiner holds the distinction of being a three-time world champion, having been a one-time WCW champion, a one-time WWA World Heavyweight Champion, and a one-time WWC Universal Heavyweight Champion. He also held numerous tag team championships internationally and is the seventh WCW Triple Crown champion. As an added fun fact, Steiner even appeared on an episode of the TV show Charmed in 2001, playing Mega Man in the episode Wrestling with Demons. Scott Steiner will be appearing at Days of the Dead Charlotte on Friday and Saturday only. Scott Steiner joins previously announced guests Cassandra Peterson, Linda Blair, Tom Matthews, C.J. Graham, Tony Todd, D. Snyder, Heather Langenkamp, Linnea Quigley, and many, many more to be announced for Days of the Dead's debut in the Carolinas. Tickets for Days of the Dead Charlotte will be on sale, or I'm sorry, are on sale now at daysofthedead.com. You know, it's never too early for some hiring news, and we've got some from Extreme Fear Haunt in Dunn, North Carolina. Extreme Fear Haunt, Harnett County's newest and only haunted house attraction. Explore the depths of the Blackwater Prison where the inmates have taken over and are anxious for new visitors. We're now hiring for the 2018 season. Visit ExtremeFearHauntNC.com for more information. We've got this news from the Sinister Creature Con in Sacramento, California. Sinister Creature Con stalks Sacramento, California this spring on Father's Day weekend, June 16th and 17th at the Scottish Rite Center, 6151 H Street in Sacramento. Guests, artists, and vendors will be announced shortly. This is our first of two conventions in 2018. The second will take place in the fall, October 13th and 14th at the Scottish Rite Center. And we're accepting vendor applications right now for both events. The vendor application is now live. Not all applications will be approved. If approved, 6-foot tables are only $150. Book at both shows and save $20. For vendors to apply, get tickets, and more information, visit their Facebook page, facebook.com/sinistercreaturecon. We've got a little toy news from NECA via BrokeHorrorFan.com. NECA will release 7-inch scale action figures based on both incarnations of Pennywise from Stephen King's It, as portrayed by Tim Curry in the 1990 miniseries and by Bill Skarsgård in the 2017 hit film, coming out in August. The 1990 version includes 4 interchangeable heads, monster hands, a noisemaker, balloon bunch, and paper boat. The 2017 version includes 3 interchangeable heads, interchangeable hands, a red balloon, and a paper boat. You can see pictures of both at BrokeHorrorFan.com. And speaking of It, we've got some news on its upcoming sequel via RueMorgue.com. Speculation about who will portray the adult Beverly Marsh in It Chapter 2 can finally come to an end, as one of the 2 most mentioned possibilities now seems poised to sign on. Variety is reporting that Jessica Chastain is in talks to play Beverly in the 2nd of the It film duo, which is set to roll this summer for release September 6, 2019. Although many remarked on the striking resemblance between Sophia Lillis, who played young Beverly in the first It, and Amy Adams, Chastain has a history with that film's directing and producing team of Andy and Barbara Muschietti, having top-lined their 2013 hit, Mama. Andy is expected to return to guide Chapter 2, though his deal like Chastain's hasn't been finalized. Gary Dauberman will script It Chapter 2, with no other casting announced of now, though the Muschiettis have expressed an interest in having the young cast of the previous movie return for flashbacks. We have a little news from the Nightmare on 3008 haunted attraction in Fultondale, Alabama. The leprechauns have taken over and we need your help. Your group will be armed with Nerf guns to protect yourself from the evil leprechaun that has hidden the pot of gold. If your group can find the gold, you'll win tickets to the new escape game, Escape the Bayou. Can you find the pot of gold? Nightmare on 3008 presents A Leprechaun's Revenge, March 16th and 17th from 7:30 until 11 p.m. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/nightmare@3008. And finally, we have this from The Big Scary Show. At Transworld, The Big Scary Show will be featuring its 3rd annual Box of Mystery giveaway. If you're attending Transworld, come by and register for free. We'll be giving everything away on Sunday. If you're a vendor, let us know if you'd like to donate an item to the Box of Mystery. You can email news@bigscaryshow.com for details and let us know what you'd like to contribute. What's going to be in the box? It's a mystery. You will get credit, though, for your contribution during the show, and we will thank you many, many times. So if you care to donate something, please email us, news@bigscaryshow.com, and come by our booth at Transworld and register, because we're giving it all away on Sunday. Remember, folks, if you have news in the haunted house, Halloween, or horror industries, and you want it on the show, email it to us, news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the show. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show is back March 20th through 25th, 2018 in St. Louis. Bigger than ever with its very first pre-convention haunted house tour. That's right, you heard that correctly, a pre-convention haunted house tour. A new Friday night themed party, the 2nd annual Witches and Warlocks Saturday Night Ball, and an even larger show floor and more seminars. For more information and to register for the biggest show yet, go to www.haashow.com. See you in St. Louis.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger. We're here live for the Big Scary Show in Atlanta, GA, at Days of the Dead and Meat Hook Jim. You'll remember this guy. You interviewed him at Scarefest way back in the early days of the show. None other than the Creeper, Mr. Jonathan Breck. Great to have you here in Atlanta.
Thank you very much. Good to be back, man.
It's always fun to talk to the guys who are kind of the face of the franchise. And, you know, with three movies under your belt, Jeepers Creepers is a franchise now. It kind of ranks up there with the Halloweens and the Nightmares and all that.
When you get a box set, I think they say you got a franchise on the road. So
how does that feel, man? When you went in for the first audition for the very first movie, was it just a, hey, work is work, this will be kind of cool? But now all these years later, Jeepers Creepers 3, there may be a 4, 5, 6, who knows what's going on in the future, but how's it feel to be part of one of those illustrious horror franchises?
Yeah, it just feels great. I mean, you're right. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I was in Hollywood just wanting a job, you know, back in 2000, and then this audition came along, and I got it the old-fashioned way, just went in and auditioned for it, and, you know, had no idea it would become what it became. I mean, none of us did. Victor, you know, Justin, Gina, I mean, all of us were really doing our first big movie. It was a small movie at the time.
That's true.
And then it just took off from there, and it became, had a life of its own, you know. It's been a roller coaster ride for sure.
And now you've got people like Ray Wise who are here and some other people. You know, this has launched a lot. Stan Shaw is over here at the table next to us. It's launched a lot of careers and just keeps going in it, and it holds up. It doesn't have that kitschy 80s look of some of the others with the, let's face it, the horrible fashions of the day and stuff like that. But it's really hold up. You could put that movie out today as a new movie and it would still hold out.
I appreciate you saying that. And it has launched a lot of careers, but I think the thing that I'm proudest of is just the sheer entertainment value it's brought to real horror fans. I'm talking about fans of classic monster movies. They don't make them like that anymore. And
good
I think
point.
That's why this movie has resonated over the years. Is it's hard to make an original monster. It's hard to create an original monster, which Victor's done, and I had a little bit of something to do with that. It's too easy to do CGI, you know. And so I think people really appreciate when you go the extra mile, you write an original character, you do practical effects, and you know that's I think why they've held up.
Sure.
You know, so
and of course, let's face it, it didn't have a happy ending.
Ha! No, it didn't.
It wasn't
it was
the
happy
last
for me.
Person. Well, yeah. You
I loved
I mean,
it.
You know, the hero wasn't standing and the monster was dead, or was he kind of thing?
Well,
like, it wasn't a lot of different ones.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason that it really appealed to people is because, you know, most of the time people are expecting the monster to take the girl, right? Took the brother instead. And, you know, the ending really surprised a lot of people, you know? And then we've continued that with all three movies, actually. And the third movie now, you know, you don't see the ending coming of this one either.
So. I'll admit I have not seen number three yet. I've seen number one. I've seen number two on TV edited. Yep. Sorry. You know,
that's just,
I have a thing about going to theaters and seeing horror movies because, well, you know,
that's
another time.
It's
another
thing. By the way.
There you go.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, yeah. I saw the first one. I'll never forget the very first movie. I was just curious, and I was living in L.A. at the time, and I went to Magic Johnson's Theater.
Oh, nice.
Down in South L.A. on a Saturday night.
That was probably entertaining.
That was the audience to see it with. Man, they were hollering at the screen.
It was like a Rocky
throwing food, throwing popcorn and stuff. I was like, that's when it kind of, we really did something here. You
Get
know, we really made
started.
A great movie. Don't go down there. What are you doing? Don't go that way. Screaming at the screen. And I was like, that's the way to see these movies, you know?
That is
so,
true.
Yeah.
So what have you got coming down the pike? You got anything working in development that we can look forward to in the next, say, 6 months to a year or so?
Yeah, you know, I finished a movie last year that came out that I really liked doing with Richard Linklater, and it's called Everybody Wants Some. It was his follow-up to Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
You know, that's not a horror movie, obviously.
No.
It's but I had a lot of fun doing that. And
but you're not typecast as one kind of people, so you know.
Well, you know,
they try.
You know, I mean, after I made the first movie, I remember going back to Hollywood, going, "Okay, this is it, man. I made it, right?" And my agent was like, "You know, I'm having a hard time getting you in other roles because everybody keeps saying they don't have a monster in the movie." I was like, "That's creativity in Hollywood for you. You know, they just can't
totally
see out of their
is.
Box, right?" So, but I did this movie with Linklater, who I enjoyed a great deal. And funny thing was, worked with a lot of the kids, the actors that I grew up watching, Leah Thompson and Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Nice.
I mean, their kids are now all acting now. And I was the oldest one in the movie, the oldest character in the movie. So, And then I've got a couple of new movies in development. One I'm producing myself, which is a horror movie that takes place on the Texas-Mexico border. Really excited about that. It's got some Lovecraft in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really
so
interesting.
Would it be fair to call it a monster-type movie?
No,
or?
It's definitely a monster movie. Okay. Yeah. It goes into the occult a little bit, you know, a little bit of the Hispanic lore of that area. You know, right. When I moved out of Hollywood about 7 years ago and moved back to Texas where I'm from and was really inspired by some of those South Texas, West Texas vistas
right.
and some of the lore around that area. You know, you see movies like No Country for Old Men, and it's just cinematic, that whole area, you know. So I've written a story right. about that.
You know, there's always those finding yourself movies, and they always seem to have to drive through the desert in order to find themselves. I got on I-40 one time in, like, Knoxville, Tennessee, and drove all the way to Santa Fe. So I went through the Texas, you know, Oklahoma, the Panhandle, all that area.
Nothing country up there.
Nothing country up there. But I'll tell you what, it does make you think a little bit. When you see a storm, like, 50 miles away, and it's like, you know, that's kind of got that horror, ominous...
You're alone. You're alone with your thoughts, and that can be a dangerous place to be.
Yes, it can. Yeah. So, do you like producing as opposed to acting?
I do. I mean, you know, after acting for 20 something years, I want to get more involved in the actual storytelling.
Right.
Right. Have more of a hand in carving out the story itself. And I love both, but I really do enjoy producing. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you luck as a producer, and for people wanting more information on Jonathan Breck, you have a website, social media, Twitter account where people can follow you and find out where all these cool Lovecraftian Mexican U.S. border type monster movies can be made.
I'm not on social media at all, man.
Oh, wow.
I'm out of that world, you know.
Do you have a website, or do we just have to follow your IMDb?
No, follow my IMDb.
There you
know?
Go.
Yeah, so.
So no wonder I never see you on Twitter or doing anything like that. Interesting.
Yeah, no, I really want people to see my work and know me for my work, really. Nice. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And not for a political comment or some shit that I make about, you know, on Twitter or on any of that stuff. You know, it's just I just don't have the time for it, you know.
Any con appearances coming on later this year?
Going to be in a con in Detroit in May, no, late April, and one in Edinburgh, Scotland, in May.
Nice.
And then a bunch of things lined up this fall. You know, the fall is really the busy season, you know.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Well, Jonathan Breck, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. It's good to have you. I'll let you get back to your fans here that are looking at your pictures and all that stuff. But in the meantime, we're here at Days of the Dead. Hey, there's Roy Woolley. We're here at Days of the Dead in Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Drew Badger, and we are out.
Bad Jack Productions, Sanctuary of the Damned, on the Big Scary Show.
a secret laboratory, illegal experiments, and they finally found a new way for you to die. There's no place to hide from the plague. Scientific experiments gone wild. Is this new movie science fiction or science fact? See the plague for yourself if you think you can stand it. Maybe you'd better hurry. The Plague.
Passion is what drives us. The passion to be the best. For over 10 years, that passion has taken us from eBay to becoming the driving force in the haunted house industry. And we are just getting started. From flex props to 9-foot giants. Great details, great looks, and great pricing is the foundation we are built on. Our heart beats Halloween and haunts. We are a creepy collection. Let us deliver our passion to your haunted attraction this season. CreepyCollection.com. Now that's creepy.
Greetings, listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. And on this episode of Between the Corpses, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it takes to run a traveling actor troupe. I'm not going to give away any trade secrets, quote unquote. But, you know, some people may have some misconceptions because it does operate quite differently from a haunted attraction that's there all the time. My team, Maul, we are never in the same place all the time. So, you know, we've got several different clients in the tri-state area. So, really, it's not just a matter of showing up and going to work there. Some people might find it hard to believe, but I start contract negotiations with haunts as early as February of the same year as the attraction. Matter of fact, this year I got my first request in December of 2017, and I've been working on contracts, going back and forth with owners, you know, detailing how many people they need, what kind of characters they need. So there's really a lot more involved than what you see on the surface. It's not just a boom, hi, how you doing, here we are. I'm fortunate enough to say that this is Maul's 5th year, and I do want to give a big shout out to Tater, and the reason I say I want to do that is because Tater was really instrumental in getting us my first big client. So thank you, Tater. Your referral has really paid off. We are now here in 5 years. Going to Indie Scream Park. No, you don't get a commission check, but you do get a big thanks. Anyway, getting back to that, you know, and then people, I've got a core group of actors, but what about when I need extra actors? You know, it's, in the past, it's been kind of hit and miss. This entire journey has been trial and error. You know, some things I found work, some things I found don't work. The things I find that don't work, I fix. The things I find do work, I keep the way they're going because they work well for us. But when it comes to actors, aside from my core group of actors, you know, I may need more people to fill out positions or client needs. So how do I go about doing that? It's not just grabbing somebody off the street. This is where it gets to be like a haunted attraction. There's interviews involved, there's discussions, there's, you know, what can you bring to the table. The big difference between a haunted attraction that's static and us is the fact that my actors have creative freedom to a degree. You know, a lot of attractions, you know, they've got set characters that they want, and that's what you do, and you know, that's great. I take nothing away from them. There's some very great attractions out there that do have those rules set in place. But as long as my clients don't specify a need, then the actors have the freedom to create their own characters. And if you watched us over the past 4 years, go 5 years, you'll notice that none of the characters that work for us are trademarked. As far as big movie monsters, they're all their own creations, and I couldn't be prouder of the team for that. And even some of the newer people that have taken the initiative to go out and create new characters, but they ask the right questions. So that's just a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes. And of course, once season hits, people get assigned to haunts where they're needed. Some people get to scare a lot more than others do, but it all works out in the end. And would I trade Maul to go back to a all season, same haunt, same character? I don't think so. I like the fact that I can get out there throughout the season, and if I want to take out 10 different characters, more than likely I can take out 10 different characters. And I know a lot of my actors feel the same way. Nothing against static haunts. You guys are great. I've loved working in static haunts. I've loved every time I've had a character in there, and I've been able to scare people on a consistent basis. But this is just a little bit more fun because it's a little bit different every time you go out. Anyway, stay tuned for the next Between the Corpses. And as if you may have noticed on my recent posts on our page, we're going to mix up horror and Halloween with a little bit of pro wrestling. Coming probably, the interview should take place sometime this month. It probably won't air until April, but tentatively we have Demon X Bunny slated to be on the show. And if you're not familiar with them, they are wrestlers, female wrestlers in Impact Wrestling. The Demon Rosemary, the Demon Assassin, I should say, as well as the Bunny, Allie, who is just chipper and happy and smiling. And I thought it would be a neat contrast to, you know, sit down and talk with them about horror, Halloween, and pro wrestling and how they go hand in hand. And if you've seen Rosemary's character, she is quite demonic. The strange thing is, I was told that Allie also likes horror, and you would never guess it because she's just Little Miss Perky Barbie doll type. So stay tuned for that one coming probably in April. I'll keep you updated as I know more. And until then, stay scary.
Are you looking for a comprehensive ticketing solution for your haunted attraction? HauntPay has the answer. We skip the features you don't need and focus on the ones you like, such as timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundle and combo tickets, social media discounts, and now featuring all-in-one options including managing your tickets online and at the door, as well as upselling and managing your merchandise and concessions, with a comprehensive report on everything at the end of the night. Head on over to HauntPay.com and get started in 60 seconds for free.
Talking Trans World the last couple of shows. We're going to do it again today because we are just a couple of short weeks away from the biggest trade show of the year for the haunted house industry. And whenever we talk Transworld, you know, we always like to talk to the vendors. We always like to get Larry Kirchner on to talk about all that stuff. But today we have the big dog, so to speak. We have Jen Braverman from Transworld on the line to kind of give us some last-second news and to talk about some of the other shows that they are running. There's some new shows they've been adding for the last couple of years and a brand-new show that's coming next year. Jen, are you with us in Chicago?
Yes, I'm here.
Great to have you here, as well as our regular hosts, including Storm.
Greetings.
Meat Hook Jim.
Here in the bipolar weather of Cincinnati.
Oh, Jesus. I'm feeling for you guys. It looks miserable. The Haunstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
Yes, I'm back. I'm not the Gavin Gaster of the Big Scary Show.
Back from his long sabbatical. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte, where it was 80 degrees this past weekend, so ha, ha. But anyway, I digress. We don't think it'll be 80 in Transworld in just a couple of weeks in St. Louis. But, Jen, any last-second cool things that are going on? As I said, we've had Larry on talking about all the after-hours stuff. We've had some vendors talk about how to survive it. I understand you've got some really cool speakers coming to Transworld this year.
Yes, we do. We're really, really excited. One of the new speakers that we do have for this year is Ron Cate, and he's supposedly a digital marketing icon. They call him the godfather of email marketing. He worked at Constant Contact for over 12 years, and I heard he was very instrumental in building that company up, and I believe that company sold for over $1 billion. So he really knows what he's doing. You know, normally we don't get a chance to hear from someone who really is that much of an industry icon. So to be able to have him come to the show, I consider that an honor. We were very, very excited when he agreed to it, and I think it's going to be a great seminar. You've got a Thursday seminar where he's going to speak for 2 hours. It's going to be kind of limited seating, but it'll give everyone a chance to really get in there and ask their questions. And if you can't make that seminar, we also have him available on Friday morning from 9 to 10 before the show starts. There is a charge to it, but, again, it's a can't-miss seminar. I have a feeling if you take the seminar on Thursday, you're also going to want to take the one on Friday. So that's something new for this year. That's something that's just recently been added, and it seems to be selling really well. So everyone should definitely take advantage of hearing him. We all have small businesses. It's important, as we talk with people through email, to be able to capture their attention right out of the gate. And this guy can help us do it.
And I don't know if you've heard him speak. I haven't heard him speak, but are you following some of the things that he's doing at this point as far as emails and social media marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm blown away. When I've heard some of the things he's talked about on videos and other things, I mean, it was things I never even thought about doing for social media. So I think it's really a great opportunity to everyone to really learn from him.
Excellent.
So you can definitely find videos on YouTube. I mean, he's all over the internet. So if you want to get a sampling of what he offers.
Very nice. Any other we last talked in December about this. Anybody else signed up for as new speakers that you want to promote?
I mean, I think all of our speakers are amazing. I mean, the lineup this year I think is really good. I would recommend taking all the different seminars, obviously, we have to offer for this year. I think there's a little something for everyone, so I really can't pick, you know, just one, but I did want to highlight Ron only because of the fact that it's so different and out of the box from things we usually bring to the show.
Very nice. Gentlemen, questions?
Well, I do have a question, and getting just to the beginning of the enormity of Transworld and what goes on, Jen. One thing that I know that you've been promoting this year is there's going to be a pre-show bus tour this year, which is really something that really hasn't been offered in the past. So what can you do? What can you tell us about the pre-show bus tour this year, Jen?
Okay, so this year's bus tour is going to be great. We're going to be starting in Nashville at Nashville Nightmare. And the buses are going to pick up from the Preston Hotel. That's kind of like that's going to be our headquarters hotel in Nashville. It's about 15 minutes from the airport. And we're going to then take you to Cock of the Walk restaurant, which is a really fun restaurant and kind of themed out, kind of that Nashville vibe. And then from there afterwards, you're going to go and get a chance to see the haunt. We're really excited about it. You're going to tour four haunted houses. He's going to do a lights on tour after, and then we're going to have a huge after party sponsored by Froggy's Fog. So I think it'll make for a really, really great evening. Brad will not be open to the public. He's only open to our group. So it's really going to get a chance for people to ask questions as well and, you know, learn from him. We have a lot of people from a lot of different places already signed up because I think the fact of being able to tour these haunts when they're not open and be able to ask all these questions and see things and see them with the lights off with the actors and then with the lights on, it really is an education within itself. So it's a great chance to learn and to have a good time with your peers, and it should make for a really nice evening. Well, the next morning,
Go ahead, Jen.
No, I was going to say the next morning you guys can kind of get up leisurely, and then we're going to be off to Talon Falls. And so I was going to get into that, but, you know, go ahead with your questions.
Well, what I was going to, it was just more of a comment, and it's like, you know, us being haunters, we're all, you know, it takes forever for us to go through because all we're doing is we're looking at everything as we're going through. So the opportunity to have it lights on and lights off is huge because we get a chance to see what we're looking at the night. You know, we're not paying attention to the actors. We're trying to look at everything else going on. So
right.
We want to, it gives everybody the opportunity to see and ask questions about everything that's going on in the haunt.
Yeah, I really think it's a great opportunity. A lot of people really ask, you know, they come to Transworld, they come from all over, and it just seemed to be a request of, you know, being able to see some, you know, have like some sort of a big haunt tour. So we'll see how it goes for this year, you know, if people enjoy it or if it's just too much, you know, before obviously a major show, you know, what the feedback is.
Are there any new vendors that are going to be appearing this year?
Are there any new vendors, did you say?
Yes.
The Transworld? Yeah, oh, we probably have the most we've ever had. I would say we probably have close to like 75 or 80 new vendors this year.
That's
very
huge.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it's going to be huge. Go ahead.
Every year we start hearing rumors. And, you know, you've been in St. Louis for 10 years. Congratulations on your 10th anniversary
this
year.
Thank you.
I know that you're tied into St. Louis for next year. But every year about this time, we start hearing rumors that Transworld's not going to be in St. Louis after 2019. And, you know, it's always turned out that you're always back in St. Louis. But I know you're in St. Louis for next year, but are you looking at relocating the show after 10 or 11 years in St. Louis? Or are those rumors by people who are just, like, tired of going to St. Louis?
Yeah, I think there's just people who are tired of going to St. Louis. At the current time, we have no plans to leave St. Louis. I mean, I know there are people that, you know, are getting a little bit tired of going to the same place, but the fact that everyone can network at one location, the hotel rates are very reasonable. It's kind of in the center of the United States. There's a lot of really great things about St. Louis that a lot of other cities don't necessarily offer. You know, we've been able to kind of keep booth prices somewhat consistent over the years so exhibitors can come and show their amazing displays without paying, you know, crazy high costs. The unions are reasonable. So there's a lot of things that goes into a show that, you know, make it successful. And every year the show is growing and growing. This year we have a larger show floor and we have more people ever signed up. So, you know, people can vacation wherever they want, but I think when they're really going to come and do business and want to network and see people, I really think St. Louis offers a lot of that. You know, if you start going to resort towns, you kind of lose that camaraderie. And someone may go to this bar, other people may go here, some people may spend time on the beach. You know, St. Louis really keeps everyone together.
Sure. Makes perfect sense to me. And the reason I know that you're in St. Louis next year, other than that I've seen things, but coming in 2019, I wanted to touch on this. You have a brand new show that is tied in with Transworld. Can you touch on that? I mean, obviously we'll get into many more details as the time gets nearer, but I think this is fascinating.
Yeah, Transworld is starting a Christmas show, which we are so excited about. And I think it's going to be great. I mean, we've heard from a lot of the major theme parks and a lot of the haunted houses that they're starting. Everyone's just kind of, Christmas is booming. It's always been booming, but as an attraction, they're starting Christmas even earlier to celebrate, and it's just becoming so big. And the same buyer that shops for Christmas shops for Halloween, too. So there really isn't a one-stop shop for all seasonal goods, and that's what we're looking the show to be. There really is no real business-to-business trade show in the United States for Christmas. There's a lot of gift shows that have a Christmas element, but not a show that's truly dedicated to Christmas. That's a B2B show. And we're going to have seminars to support it. We're going to have an amazing show floor, a lot of different things that are going to make up this Christmas show to be able to help teach people how to add Christmas to their already existing attraction, or if they already have a Christmas attraction, how to make it better.
Yeah, I know back in early December, we had several haunt owners that were putting on Christmas shows. And that seems to be the next big trend. There are dozens of haunts putting on Christmas and Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day.
You're 100% correct. The season, putting seasons into their haunted houses, people are seeing how they can create extra revenue for themselves throughout the year. And so I think it's just a natural progression for us to add Christmas into the show.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be fantastic. The dates of that are March 21st through the 24th. Don't know if I'm giving anything away as far as when Transworld is, but I'm assuming those are the same dates for Transworld.
Yes, that's when
ahead and start making those hotel plans.
No, you're correct. I mean, I think having the shows co-locate, it will be in its own hall of over 100,000 square feet. So it'll be a large area, so we'll have a lot of different Christmas vendors. For this year, we have some Christmas companies, but it's not anywhere as extensive as it will be in 2019.
Very nice. We'll definitely be touching on that again as the time gets closer. But I do want to remind everybody, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show with our very special guest, Jen Braverman, our usual co-host, talking Transworld and some of the other shows that they put on during the year. We're going to take a real quick break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror talking about Transworld and many of the shows that Transworld puts on. I think we got a little sidetracked before the break. We were talking about Transworld and the Christmas show and all that, but I know that Jim had asked a question about the pre-show tour, and we'd talked about Nashville Nightmare. We didn't talk about Talon Falls. Jen, can you talk about the second major haunt on the pre-show bus tour happening this year?
Yeah, so we're going to go to Talon Falls the next day, which will be Wednesday the 21st, and we're going to arrive there around 4 o'clock. We're going to do a lights-on tour of the Dead End and the Sinister Circus 3D. We're going to have dinner, and then afterwards we're going to see a full show of the Talon Falls Scream Park. So there'll be, that whole thing. And I would do a lights on after, but I'm worried it's going to get a little bit too late for people, so we're going to start to head back afterwards to St. Louis.
Talon Falls had a fire there about 5 or 6 years ago, so glad to hear that they rebuilt and they're...
Yeah, I mean, I know Todd said he has made so many changes to the haunt, so I think it's going to be amazing for people to be able to see it, if they haven't seen it before.
Excellent. Well, Jen, I know it's always fun talking Transworld this time of the year, but we get new listeners all the time, and a lot of them don't know about the other shows that you put on. A few years ago, you bought Midwest Haunters Convention, and we'll definitely get you on a little later to talk about that happening Memorial Day weekend in Columbus, Ohio. But last year, you debuted a brand new show called the Premier Haunt Tour and Education Series. It was down in Texas, but you're moving it this year, definitely out of the South. Can you tell us what the Premier Haunt Tour and Educational Series is, where it's going, and what that's all about? That's happening June 22nd and 23rd.
Yes, so we're going to upstate New York, which we're really, really excited about, and we're going to go to Headless Horseman. I know Headless Horseman has not opened before for any other tour, so it's really going to be an amazing thing. Not only are we going to go there and tour his location, but we're also going to learn from a lot of the staff. We're going to learn from Mike. We're going to learn from Nancy as well. And it's just going to be great. We're going to have classes at a hotel during the day. We're going to have classes on site. We're going to switch those classes, and the people that were at one location are going to move to the other. We're going to have some pre-parties there. We're going to have some great dinners. We're going to get a chance to tour his fabulous, fabulous location, which everyone raves about. So I think it's going to be great, and it's not going to be open to the public. So people are going to get to take their time and ask their questions and really learn from a world-class haunted house.
So this is like just having a concentrated how-to series or session.
Yes, it is. And we're going to go up the day before, and it'll be a separate ticket to Sleepy Hollow as well. If people want to come in the day before, we're going to do a bus tour up there.
Oh, wow. And is there a limit to the number of people? I believe last year you were trying to limit it to...
We're trying to limit it to about 200. I mean, I don't want the tour to, you know, obviously get too big where it gets too crazy for people and they don't get a chance to really, you know, feel like it's a one-on-one type of thing.
Okay. How was the numbers last year? What were the responses and the reviews of when you were in the Dallas area?
People loved it. I mean, how can you not love Alan Hobbs? I mean, and the teachers he has at his facilities are amazing. His facility is beyond amazing. So everyone just had a great time. I think it was a huge success. I mean, we kind of rolled it out right before the show, and I think it worked out really, really well.
Excellent. So this will be a regular yearly thing now? You're going to be touring around the country, hopefully?
Yes. And it's a different format than Legendary, and it is a different time of year. So I would say it'd be somewhere between April and June every year.
Oh, very nice. So make your plans June 22nd through the 23rd. Go up to Ulster Park, New York, and check out the premier haunted attractions tour and education series. I believe that, what is that, Fates, as far as the... As the acronym goes, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if this is your second or your third year, but you have gotten into the escape room tour business. You have something called the Room Escape Tour. What's going on with that this year?
So that's a trade show that moves around every year. So this year we're going to Nashville, July 27th to the 29th, and it will be at the Music City Convention Center right downtown, a block away from Broadway. So people will get a chance to sit in classes. There's a trade show floor, as well as we're going to go to two different locations in the Nashville area and tour room escapes. So people get to play games. They'll get to do Q&As. It's a little bit different of a format of a trade show, but it's great because people really get to learn with the seminars. They get to learn with the games, and then they, you know, obviously they can buy on the trade show floor.
And for those people who don't really know what escape rooms are, you know, that's kind of like this huge, fast growing industry thing. I personally have never been in an escape room. So,
oh, they're amazing. You know, you would love it.
I'm terrible at puzzles. That's my problem.
I don't know, but you know what? It's so fun because you can go with like your group of your friends, and it's really great. I mean, you really get an opportunity to kind of, you know, solve some puzzles with your friends, and it's a great experience.
Right.
I think if the Big Scary Show went into an escape room, we'd fail miserably.
Oh God, I know I would. Now, with this being a trade show,
I'm surprised you guys have never done it.
With this being a trade show, is it mostly haunt related, or are there other escape room type situations that are not haunt related that'll be representing here?
It's a room escape show. No, you have everything from room escape to virtual reality. I mean, it definitely isn't. There aren't a lot. It's not just slanted on haunt. It's pretty much anyone that wants to open up a room escape, you know, at any type of attraction. So, you know, some people are opening up in the mall. Some people are opening up in resorts, cruise ships. I mean, they're opening up everywhere. Haunted houses are definitely opening up escape rooms. So it definitely doesn't have the haunt vibe. It's not a haunt-focused show. It's more of a gaming show.
What made you decide to go into this? I mean, I know it's huge in the haunt industry at this time, but, you know, is it go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you can kind of see from some of our trends, we kind of try to figure out what the next trend is going to be and get ahead of it. Sometimes we do a good job, sometimes we don't. But, you know, we got into paintball. if you guys remember. We still do have a paintball area on the show floor. It's not as big as it once was in the beginning, but, you know, as you saw, the zombie mud runs, the paintball, all that stuff started kind of going into the haunted house area, and there were a lot of synergies. So we, you know, started obviously doing that. The next thing we saw is room escapes. You know, we saw that that would really be big. We knew at that point maybe one or two of the haunts were thinking about putting it in.
You've had Escape Room City on the Transworld show floor now for at least 3 years.
Yes.
Is it expanding this year, or is it about the same? Or
I would say it's a tad bit larger this year. Not by a lot, but a little bit. Maybe an extra row.
Okay, excellent. So, you know, for those who don't get escape rooms like me, you know, go tour it and check that out. And definitely check out the Room Escape Tour going to Nashville, TN, July 27th through the 29th.
I've actually done some room escape, the escape room stuff out in when I was still living in Vegas. And it is definitely a brain teaser. You definitely got to, you know, if they tie the what's going on and what you're supposed to solve in with everything else, it becomes a total sensory experience. It's actually quite very fun.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I mean, I know a lot of people do it for team building. A lot of people just do it because it's fun to do with your friends.
Yeah, right. This was a team building exercise that we did.
And the nice thing is you get addicted. After you do one escape room, you kind of want to do another one.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'd just be staring at the wall saying, I'm addicted to staring at the wall because I don't know what's going on. But anyway, that's me. So that sounds like a lot of fun. And as we announced on the last show, I believe last Big Scary News, you've made the reveal that the Legendary Haunt Tour, which you touched on before, is going way out west for the first time, November 9th through the 10th.
Yes, we're very, very excited to go to Salt Lake City this year. I think it's going to be amazing. I think the haunts out there are great, and I think it's just going to be an experience. So I feel really lucky that we're doing that. We're going to go to Nightmare on 13th and Fear Factory. So both of those are great, great, great haunts. And I'm just really happy that we get an opportunity to tour them.
That's a long drive or a long flight for a lot of people. But yet I've heard some really good things about one of the, I'm familiar with one. I'm not familiar with the other. So I think it's going to be fascinating to go out there and check that out. And Jerry, what's Utah like in November? Is it similar to Vegas? Is it cold? Yet?
I want to say it's a little chillier. Like any place, it varies. I will say that beer is only 3%, so you can drink a 12-pack and you might get a buzz. trust me, I know. I drink a 12-pack of Bud, and I'm like, really? I drink a 12-pack, and I'm not even slightly buzzed. This is
because of the altitude?
No, it's because of the liquor laws, because it's a Mormon state. Seriously, you can go and buy a thing of Budweiser, and the alcohol content will be lower than anywhere else in the nation, because that's Mormon law. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I did shows up in St. George several times, and yeah, the liquor laws are very different out there, and like I said, you can buy a 12-pack of beer and you might get a buzz off of it.
So let me think.
Wow.
Haunters coming off their seasons, going to Legendary. They're basically going to want to burn off all that post-Halloween stress. They're basically going to have to import their own stuff, it sounds like. If they can.
Six of one, half of another. I mean, you know. It's definitely interesting.
Pack liquor in your suitcase.
Pack liquor in your suitcase and, yeah, wrap it in bubble wrap.
Or ship it. Do something.
That too.
Any other questions for Jen? I know she's very, very busy. I know she's got a lot of things to go on, but anything we want to touch on one last thing with Transworld or any of the other shows that we've got that are coming up later this year?
I've got one last question for Jen about Transworld, and it keeps getting bigger every year, and we've been hearing these grandiose plans for this year. How big is the show this year?
It's definitely grown. This will be our biggest show that we've ever had yet. I know I feel like I say that every year, but it's true. We've sold more room nights at hotels than we ever have in the past. I think the Marriott, this is our largest block we've ever taken, as well as all the other hotels. The show floor is bigger this year. Everything is just going to be bigger and better. You know, I think people are really bringing their A game. We're really excited. It's our 10th year in St. Louis. We've got a huge party going on Friday night with Club Eternity. I think that's going to be great. We've got a lot that's going to be themed out in a lot of different ways. So I think Transworld is just going to have a vibe that it's just bigger. It just, there's more people. It's bigger. I just think it's going to be, you know, we've got two different parties. You've got tours. You know, you've got escape rooms. There's just so much to do this year that I think that 4 days may not even be enough.
Wow.
Well, Jen, for people who have, you know, been on the fence for all this time and they need to make some final decisions here, whether or not they're going to attend or not, where, or give us the who, what, where, when, and why of Transworld 2018, and where can they get all the information about this, plus all the other shows we've been talking about?
Well, all the information for this show is on HAAshow.com. All of the shows that we run are on transworldtradeshow.com. We have a landing page that has all a list of all our different shows that can be able to take you to, you know, all the different sites that we run, that we have. Transworld will be March 22nd through the 25th at the America Center in downtown St. Louis. I definitely would buy tickets before March 19th at midnight Central Standard Time, because the price does go up significantly. Another $15 to get into the show. So if you know you're coming, don't wait to the very last minute to buy your tickets or buy them on site where the price is higher. The seminars are higher on site. The parties are higher on site. So I definitely would try to encourage people to buy, you know, earlier before the 19th of March.
Excellent. Any final things, guys?
No, I don't think so. All right.
Well, Jen, of course, we want to thank you very much for allowing the Big Scary Show to cover Transworld, as we do and have been for the past several years. We love coming out there. We're going to be doing our absolutely free boxing mystery giveaway again, putting some good interviews out there, and giving us all the coverage that you've come to know and love from the Big Scary Show. And I know you're an extremely busy woman this time of year, so we're going to let you go here in just a second. But once again, HAAshow.com, TransworldTradeshows.com. Follow them on all the social medias. Be sure to check out Ron Cates as a special guest speaker talking about social media blasts, all the other speakers, the seminars, the parties. Oh, my God, the pre-show tour, the vendor floor, everything. No city museum this year, but we might have to sneak out there. We'll see. And, of course, all the other trade shows we've touched on, Premier Haunt Tour and Education Series coming to Ulster Park, New York, June 22nd and 23rd, the Room Escape Tour in Nashville, Tennessee, July 22nd through the 29th, and way out in Salt Lake City for Legendary Haunt Tour this year, November 9th and 10th. We're not forgetting Midwest Haunters. Jen, we will have you back on the show in a couple of months to talk about Midwest in depth. And for all you folks that run a Christmas haunt, there's a Christmas show coming to Transworld next year in St. Louis, March 21st through the 24th. Again, check out the website because there's already information on there at HAAshow.com. Jen, stay on the line for just a second here, but I want to thank our great host for asking questions and talking about Transworld, including Storm.
Thank you.
Meat Hook Jim.
Well, Storm, short and to the point. I'm sorry I will not be able to make it this year, but I'm wishing you a great show. Jen, I know Badger will cover everything for us, and hopefully I'll be able to make it out there next year.
Oh, we're sad you're not going to be there.
Well, we do have Wicked Wendy coming as well for one of our special correspondents, and a couple other folks. We'll have the show covered pretty well. Jerry Vane.
There was a possibility, but unfortunately work got in the way again.
Oh, we understand. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte, going to drive to St. Louis for the second year in a row. We'll see how that goes. So if you do decide to relocate after 2019, make it closer to Charlotte. This is the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Die Monster Die, lucky number 666 on the Big Scary Show.
Hey girls, look right over there, do you see my limousine? It only goes to show just how we roll. I'm the man with the plan and the ball in my hat. I'm the star you've come to see. Strong on before the night grows old. I got your backstage pass. Satan, baby, I keep it safe here in my pants. So reach right in my pocket, honey, grab a handful of romance.
Lucky number 666.
This is all the crucifix.
Lucky number 666.
Virgin Mary's turning tricks. Drug whores and gold guitars with diamond studded strings. When you ring my bell, a choir of angels sing. This mansion used to be a church, how the ground sprout steam and seed. Take my hand, come on, let's go, let's rock and roll. I got your backstage pass to Satan, babe. I keep it safe here in my pants. So reach right in my pocket, honey, grab a handful of romance. Make sweet and nasty love. Not until the morn, but in 9 months, don't come calling me when your Satan child is born.
Lucky number 666.
Jesus on the crucifix.
Lucky number 666.
Virgin Mary's turning tricks.
Lucky number 666.
Jesus on the crucifix.
Lucky number 666.
Virgin Mary's turning tricks.
Lucky number 666.
Jesus on the crucifix.
Lucky number 666.
Virgin Mary's turning tricks.
Lucky number 666.
Jesus on the crucifix.
Lucky number 666.
Virgin Mary's turning tricks.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright. So, the big thing out there that you're planning for and you want to add to your haunt, you want to try, are escape rooms. And the, you know, way to make your escape room successful is to have it an all-year-round type of thing. Something where people will be coming back to it year and year, and especially getting those corporate clients. Having them come out to your escape rooms, you know, the team building corporate client type of escape rooms. Great, working. And, you know, that's where you gotta think about the theming for your escape rooms. Yeah, sure, Murder on the Orient, lots of fun for a birthday, and, you know, that's how it is. But, you know, if you're pitching that to your corporate people, you know, they're going to come maybe do it a one-off. You're probably not going to see them again because, that's fun, we'll do this every couple of years. So, unfortunately, Haunters, the horror theming and the fun with zombies or mad scientists for escape rooms is not how you're going to be able to sell your escape room to corporations for team building time after time after time. No, you're going to need an escape room themed for corporate culture. Now think of this. You can actually do this. This is an escape room which will actually work. You know, your escape room, instead of being, you know, these types of things, you know, horror, murder, mystery, no, you have to figure out how to fix the paper jam in the copier. You know, any office, it takes about six people anyway to figure out where paper jam is and CA7, and everybody dig it out and reload the thing. You know, could you imagine as an escape room who can get that done the fastest? They're going to be coming back time after time. A couple other ideas you could do for, you know, your escape rooms is find the key to the executive washroom. Ooh, reward for that would be fantastic. I'm working together to do that. How about sneaking in past reception after that two-hour lunch? Trying to send a fax. Oh, yeah, there's a great one. No, do we dial 9 or do we just dial 1? Does it go face in, face down, or up? You know, these are fantastic corporate escape room team building exercises. And, you know, you can go to your, you know, boardroom thing, you know, the boardroom meeting escape room. You know, everybody's got to pitch their sales event or something, or even closing the deal on a sale. How great of escape room. If you can manufacture that, you know, you're going to have businesses coming back to you time after time after time to have their people go through your escape room. You know, can you imagine just a copier one? They'll be sending interns there every quarter. You know, the time they'd save on that, they'll be like, oh, this is worth it. This escape room is great. Fantastic. So, yeah, the horror doesn't work for your corporate theme escape rooms to get people out there. You got to go to these real-life office situations. And then you'll have them rolling in year after year, month after month. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Store.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Ready to dress up your show? Need to pump new life into old props? Just want to show something no one else has? Do what Alice Cooper, Distortions Unlimited, and A-list haunters all over the world do. Wear Bunkerum. Durable, handcrafted, dependable, year after year. Bunkerum. When you scare enough to wear the very best. Bunkerum.com. VONCHARON.com.
welcome to yet another edition of the Veister's Haunted Vista. Here we are, early March. Transworld is but 2, maybe 3 weeks away, and I'm certain everyone is chomping at the bit to get down to St. Louis and enjoy the festival of ghoulish delights that's going to be on display. And of course, never forget to stop at the Big Scary Show booth and converse with whoever and whomever is there, including Mr. Badger, and find out all the latest scary news that you can use. And in that spirit, and keeping all of that in mind, this time on the Haunted Vista, we're going to step into the Way, Way Back Machine, or our TARDIS, take your pick, and journey back to the early 70s to take a look at a pair of films and a short-lived television series that, while at the time didn't do all that hot in the ratings, turned out to be vastly influential. Referring to none other than the Howdy Doody Show.
Wrong answer!
Oh, could it be that I'm pulling your leg here?
Guilty. Guilty. And oh, so very guilty.
Do you think I should stop right about now?
When shall we be free? When shall we be free of his evil?
Okay, bad puns and sound effects aside, of course I'm referring to none other than Night Stalker. It was based upon an unpublished novel by Jeff Rice entitled The Kolchak Tapes. Rice said he wrote the novel because he said he'd always wanted to write a vampire story, but more because he wanted to write something that involved Las Vegas. Rice had difficulty finding a publisher willing to buy the manuscript until agent Ricky Ray read the manuscript and realized the novel would make a good TV movie. The 1973 novel, renamed The Night Stalker, wasn't published until after the original film had already aired, and was delayed, according to Rice, because the publisher wanted both Rice's original novel and the 1974 sequel, The Night Strangler, written by Rice but based upon the screenplay by author Richard Matheson, and I'll get to that one in a bit too, so they could be placed on top of the publisher's list in the 1 and 2 positions for 1974. Needless to say, that didn't happen, but that's besides the point. The original Night Stalker film popped up in January of 1972 to huge ratings, which the network did not lose sight of. In a nutshell, it featured Darren McGavin as crusty, cynical, but lovable reporter Carl Kolchak, somewhat past his prime, but still hoping for that big byline, and not exactly much beloved by the local law enforcement or government due to his pushy, investigative, and persistent nature. Set in Las Vegas in 72, the plot centers around a series of murders of young women who have been drained of every last drop of blood in their bodies, which leads to some theories of some psychopath running around who may have it in his head that he's a vampire.
You could check all the insane asylums across the country, the bug houses, see if they released recently a nut who thinks he's Count Dracula, even if he's done nothing to prove it.
Do you believe in vampires, little boy?
As the film progresses, Kolchak's cynicism and disbelief slowly starts to melt away as there's several close encounters as the law enforcement tries to detain the suspect, a British citizen by the name of Janos Skorzeny, who, after some investigation, turns out to be well past 70 years old and can throw cops around like stuffed animals. With the prodding of Carl's girlfriend, Gail Foster, played by Carol Lindley, Kolchak quickly realizes he may be dealing with far more than he ever bargained for, or the local law enforcement either. The film wraps up to a very satisfying climax. It scored huge ratings, as I mentioned earlier, on its initial run, because plain and simple, if someone as cynical and world-weary as Carl Kolchak is can believe in vampires, there's always that chance they just may exist. While preparing this segment, I had a chance to sit down and watch the film again, and it's still quite effective. There's a heightening anxiety as events speed to a climax, And Yanel Skorzeny, played by Barry Atwater, is truly terrifying in this film. Mimicking Christopher Lee from 1965's Dracula, Prince of Darkness, he says not one word through the entire film, and he sports some really impressive fangs. The film's success led to a sequel, 1973's The Night Strangler, which picks up pretty much after the events of the first movie, with Kolchak ending up in Seattle, Washington, rehired again by his boss, Vincent Vincenzo, played by Simon Oakland, and investigating a series of murders which occur in a 21-year cycle and always focuses on a set of young women where the perpetrator always extracts a certain amount of blood from each of them. I'm not going to give too much away, but the villain of the piece is played by Richard Dean Anderson, and this is a couple years from his fame as Oscar Goldman on The $6 Million Man, but he makes a suitable, truly frightening villain. And, well, go see it for yourself. It's well worth the effort. And once again, the film was a rating success, which led to a possible third film, which got shot down when the possibility of an ongoing series was proposed. The series, Kolchak the Night Stalker, debuted in September of 1974. I was there. I watched the first episode. And while it did have a nice little splash initially, the show ran into a problem that shows of this nature often do, and that's the suspension of disbelief. Kolchak quickly became Kolchak's Monster of the Week, as the critics sneered, or, as Stephen King once put it, this monster was brought to you by Gainsburgers. Kolchak encountered just about everything under the sun. Jack the Ripper, zombies, vampires, werewolves, aliens, pyromanic poltergeists, mummies, succubi, rakshasas, reptiles running around in the sewers, not to mention Neanderthal men doing just about the same thing, and in one of the most tasteless takeoffs on the Headless Horseman, a headless motorcycle rider running around with a sword, beheading all of those who took his own head in a 1950s gang stunt. Needless to say, the show ran out of gas pretty quick, hampered by, once again, suspension of disbelief and just some really cheap-looking monsters, more often than not played by Richard Kiel, who was a few years shy of attaining fame as Jaws from the James Bond series. Now, to be fair, when the show was on, it was on. There's some really standout episodes, including The Vampire, The Zombie. They Have Been, They Are, They Will Be, which focuses on alien invaders. The Devil's Platform, featuring Tom Skerritt as a politician selling his soul to Satan for success, something I don't have a problem believing in at all. A witchcraft story called The Trevi Collection, where the central villain was played by none other than Dark Shadows' Laura Parker, a.k.a. Angelique. And a little philosophical piece called Mr. Ring about artificial intelligence implanted upon an android who goes on a killing spree before he gets a little bit of a handle upon himself. Sadly, despite some intelligent writing and a gaggle of guest stars in both the films and on the television series itself, including people like Larry Linville, Kathy Lee Crosby, the aforementioned Tom Skerritt, and John Carradine, it didn't much to help the sagging ratings, and the show disappeared after 1 year, much to my disappointment, because I really enjoyed it despite my parents' protests. In spite of all this, the film and the series were immensely influential. X-Files creator Chris Carter has acknowledged that the show influenced him greatly in his own work with that series, and has had more than one tribute and Easter egg to Kolchak within the scope of the X-Files run. In 2005, ABC attempted to revive the series in a more modernized and spruced-up version, as they put it, and it just didn't work. They didn't even finish one series, it was so bad, and the less said about it, the better, although Darren McGavin does make a brief cameo in the show's initial pilot episode. Interestingly enough, Kolchak the Night Stalker has a huge underground following, evidenced by the fan fiction, the comic book series, which actually, if you read some of these stories, would have worked beautifully in the context of that show, but alas, that's the way it goes. A word on actor Darren McGavin. Already an established actor of both TV and film by the point of Kolchak, he's best remembered for his role as the old man in 1983's A Christmas Story, a film which, if I ever have to see again, I will scream.
I hate you so much.
I can relate, buddy. But regardless, McGavin has a very interesting run in science fiction and horror, including spots in Millennium in 1997, The X-Files itself, Monsters, Twilight Zone, and a host of others. Do a little investigating. McGavin had a taste for science fiction and horror, things like The Martian Chronicles and many, many others, and he was definitely a friend of our way of thinking. As it happens, as I'm recording this, this marks the 12th anniversary of McGavin's passing this week. And if you do a little Googling, go looking for a photograph of McGavin's grave out in California. As it happens, he's buried directly behind none other than Vampyra. He's probably chasing her down in the afterlife as well. So next time you're binging on the new series of The X-Files, or just rewatching some old Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, or even some Millennium, think about old Mr. Carl Kolchak. Raise a toast to him, and always remember, there are such things as vampires. And who knows what else out there. Comments, critiques, suggestions, drop me a line at ericbssh@gmail.com or look me up on Facebook. I answer both media, but you've got a better chance of catching me on Facebook than you do with the email, but I'll get to you sooner or later. Also take a look at our Blogspot page, the Veister's Halloween Haunt Journal, full of news, reviews, and things you can use and abuse for the discriminating paladin haunting. Next time on The Vista, well, your guess is as good as mine, but I guarantee it'll be enjoyable, fun, and cool, and spooky in the midst of all the Transworld coverage coming up in the month of March. So, until next time, always remember Sven Gulli's credo and brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and always remember that I hid Drew and Jim's bodies because they wouldn't get me complimentary tickets to Transworld.
Now my revenge is complete.
See everyone in 2 weeks. For all those going to Transworld, have a blast, drive safe, and have one for me. Take care until next time, everybody.
Indeed it is, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the gruesome giveaway for the month of March, sponsored by our very good friends at ScreenLineStudios.com. Be sure to go to their website, check out all the cool things they have there. But if you listen very carefully, you might just win one here on this show. I'm going to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. If you think you know the answer, send us an email, contest@bigscaryshow.com, with your name, your number, and of course, the answer. So without further ado, the March gruesome giveaway question is: Kolchak the Night Stalker is a direct influence on what very popular sci-fi TV series? If you think you know the answer, get us your name, your number, and the answer into our studios, contest@bigscaryshow.com, before midnight on March 12th, and we will pick a random entrant to see if you're the winner of the March gruesome giveaway here on The Big Scary Show, sponsored once again by our great friends at Screenline Studios. Contest@bigscaryshow.com. Get your answer in by March 12th. Good luck.
Little Miss Stakes. Drag Queen Dracula on The Big Scary Show.
intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors. Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com, that's MaulMonsters.com, Drew Badger, Actor Trainer and Consultant. Find out more at rabidbadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist, for all your heavy metal and haunt needs. JerryVane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.